Please join me in prayer.
Father in heaven, we thank you for your great goodness to us in giving us life and providing us with all that we have, and even giving us your holy word by which you promise us great blessings when we honor you with what we have received. Help us today, Heavenly Father, to better understand what your word says. Grant us that gift of faith to believe that it is true. Help us to rejoice in Jesus Christ, who is your Son and did everything to take away our sins. And then help us that we might honor you in our daily Christian lives. We ask it all in Jesus' name. Amen. Dear friends in Jesus Christ, today we come to the topic of giving, and it can be a topic that people don't want to hear about in a sense, but I'm kind of excited to share it with you because I believe that God has great blessing for us when we know what his word says and we step out in faith and follow it. As I think about people I've known over my life, with most people I haven't known that much about them, but I believe the ones that held back and were afraid to step out in faith and follow what the Word of God said, in general, they tended to be people who struggled in life. But the ones who did step out in faith and did extraordinary and radical things, those are the ones who had the greatest peace, the greatest joy, the greatest blessing. In a way, it doesn't make sense, but in a way, it makes perfect sense because that agrees with what God's word says. You have a brochure today, so I want to invite you to take that out and follow along. But as we get into this topic, though, let me clarify this right up front. This is not a salvation issue. So God wants us to know we've all fallen into sin. We can't fix that. So God has sent his Son, and the Son of God came. He put on human flesh. His name is Jesus. He lived the life that none of us can live. He lived without sin. And then, when the time was right, God allowed him to be nailed to a cross. God took the sins of the entire world and put them on Jesus. And then he punished him for all of those sins, which include your sins and even my sins. After having taken all of that punishment, he then laid down his life. No one took his life from him. When his work was done, he laid down his life. On the third day, God the Father raised him from the dead to show that he accepted his sacrifice, to show us that physical death is not the end, but one day God will raise everybody back to life again. So knowing that we have fallen short, sorry for our sins, knowing that Jesus is God, what does God do? God gives us then that gift of faith by which we are trusting now, not in any good thing that we do or could ever do, but only in the finished work that Jesus did by living in our place, by taking away our sins. So God wants us to know that when we have that blessed relationship with him, he wants us to know that our sins are forgiven. Heaven is open for us. So what about giving then? Giving is not part of going to heaven, but giving is simply learning now how to function in this world as ones who are forgiven of their sins, ones who are God's holy children. And God tells us in his word how we are to function in that way. If we function well in that way, God has great blessing for us. If we choose to do it our own way, life is going to be a struggle. But it doesn't mean we don't have salvation. As long as we have Christ, we have salvation. But I believe, though, God wants to bless us not only in eternity, but he wants to bless us even now in this life. So God has told us the path of blessing right here, which I want to share with you now. If you open up the brochure, if you look at number one, God has given us whatever we have. The Bible says, the Lord your God gives you the ability to produce wealth. The Bible also tells us David's prayer. He prayed to the Lord, we have given you only what comes from your hand. So all the good that we have, God has given it to us. Number two talks about first fruits giving. So the Bible calls us to honor the Lord from the first of our wealth. If we give to God last, it shows no step of faith. If we give to God first and trust Him that with whatever is left, He will provide our needs, that is living in faith. God calls us to that. Number three, faithful giving is proportionate giving. So we might say, a proportion of what? Well, a proportion of whatever we receive. So whether we're talking salary, wages, pension, retirement, inheritance, whatever it might be, God is calling us to honor Him with whatever we receive. For example, when I was a seminary student years ago, sometimes a member of my home congregation, they would write us a little card of encouragement, and they would put a check in there for maybe $20, and they would send it off to us in Fort Wayne, Indiana. So we would open that up. We'd be thankful that they remembered us, thankful that they're praying for us. So we'd take that check, and our system was that we could not cash that check until we had written a thank you. Then we would cash the check, and if it was a $20 check, for example, the first $2 of that check always went into the offering plate, then we had $18 left to use according to our needs. So we've always functioned in that way, and it's just an amazing thing that the Lord has just provided all of our needs and so much more. So notice what it says there in Deuteronomy 16, each of you must bring a gift in proportion to the way the Lord your God has blessed you. So the idea, according to the scripture, is that those who have a little are called to give a little. Those who have been given a lot, they have a much greater responsibility to give a lot. So it's a very fair way of doing it. That's what God's system is. And then number four, our giving is a test of our faith. Like I tried to do with the children, I gave them 100%. And that's what God does for us. He gives us 100%. In other words, He gives us our share, and He gives us His share. And then God is kind of standing back there watching, saying, what are they going to do with it? I've given them theirs and mine. Are they going to keep all of it? Or are they going to recognize that according to my word, are they going to recognize what part is mine, and are they going to give it back to me? Maybe a more practical way to look at it would be, have you ever been in a store and you didn't use a credit card, you used cash, and you were given your change, and right away you realized, I've been given too much money. Well, when you realize you've been given too much money, right away you know what the right thing is to do, don't you? You know that you should go back right away to the cashier and say, by the way, you gave me an extra five, or whatever it might be. And you want to make it right then. Well, with all that we have, the Lord has given us our share, and He has given us His share. He has given us too much change. That's what He has done. He's given us too much change. So we know what we should do because God has told us very clearly, but the question is, what will we do? Let's go on to number five. According to the Bible, even pastors are commanded to give a tithe. In Numbers 18, it says, when you receive from the Israelites the tithe I give you as your inheritance, you must present a tenth of that tithe as the Lord's offering. So the people were to give a tenth, and then from what the priest received, he was to give a tenth. How much is a tenth? Is that much? You know, as I tried to work through that with the kids with the 20 nickels, I know kind of half and half seemed reasonable. And then the more we kept putting more in our pile and less in God's pile, it almost seems like God was getting way too little. But yet, God is so good to us, He is so generous to us, that God says, I've given you all of it freely. Go ahead, keep 90% of it. Enjoy it. Have fun with it. But remember, part of it belongs to me. I've given you my share too. Notice what I put there in A, B, and C. I looked up on the internet, and the tax rate for last year, depending on your income, is somewhere between 10% and just under 40%. Now, of course, if you're paying almost 40%, you are making an awful lot of money. So is 40% a lot? Certainly it is. But if you're making $1 million a year and you have to pay $400,000 in taxes, isn't it nice that you still have $600,000 left? What a nice thing. So when you do it proportionately, you know, it's a fair way to look at it. What about when you go to a restaurant? If you get decent service, you ought to be tipping 15%, 20%, sometimes maybe even 25%. And we don't really think twice about that, do we? Well, the Lord has given us all that we have, all that we need, and he's simply saying, remember, I've given you the whole thing, so most of it is yours to keep and enjoy. Remember, part of it is mine. That's how you show your trust in me. That's how you honor me. That's how you show your love for me, is by simply giving me my portion back. Number six, then, is a little bit difficult, but you can probably understand it now based on what's already been said. If we do not tithe, we are robbing from God. You get it, don't you? God has given us the whole share, but if we keep his share too, that's like robbing from God. Going back to receiving too much change, if we receive too much change, we know that at the end of the day, that cashier is going to try to balance. She's going to come up $5 short, and she's probably going to have to take that out of her own money in order to be able to turn her drawer in. Well, we don't want that, do we? We have just robbed $5 from that cashier. We don't want to do that. We want to give that money back to her. God wants us to understand that it's a very simple principle. Notice what it says in Malachi 3. The Lord is speaking, and he says, will a man rob God? Yet you rob me. But you ask, how do we rob you? And then he answers, in tithes and offerings. So what he's saying to them, I've given you the whole share, and you have kept the whole share. You are robbing from me. Number seven, we get into the New Testament here a little bit, because some people want to say, tithing, that's all Old Testament. There's nothing New Testament. Well, consider what Jesus said. He said these words in Matthew 23, you give a tenth of your spices, mint, dill, and cumin. But you have neglected the more important matters of the law, justice, mercy, and faithfulness. Now notice what he says. You should have practiced the latter. In other words, you should have practiced justice, mercy, and faithfulness without neglecting the former. In other words, giving a tenth of everything that you have received, including even a tenth of your spices. Now, of course, the people he was addressing, they were people who were trying to follow the letter of the law, but they had no trust in God for eternal salvation. That's no good either. We want to especially trust in him for eternal life. But upon doing that, though, God wants us to see that he's given us the whole part. He's calling us to honor him by giving him the part that is his. The most important section maybe today is part eight. And that's the one I was excited to share with you, because God is promising blessing upon blessing upon blessing for those who honor him and follow his word. First of all, in Proverbs 3, for those who honor the Lord from the first of their wealth, the Lord is promising that such people, your barns will be filled with plenty and your vats will overflow with new wine. How many people here have a barn or a vat? Okay, well, it doesn't quite apply to us today, but the idea is it's talking about great, great abundance. Imagine a farmer and his barn is like so full he can't hardly shut the doors because God has given him such a great abundance. Or think about wine and you're trying to make wine and the vat is just running over on the floor. You have so much of it. God wants us to know that he's promising us great abundance when we follow his word. And then we go back to Malachi 3 in the section earlier about robbing from God. That's Malachi 3. Now we pick up in that same section, and the Lord said, bring the whole tithe into the storehouse and see if I will not throw open the floodgates of heaven and pour out so much blessing that you will not have room enough for it. Also, too, with that passage, that does tie in with our 2014 offering envelopes. So you have that reminder every time you grab an envelope as to this great blessing that God is offering to those who tithe. Again, it's not a salvation issue, but I want God to bless you even as God has blessed me. So God got the attention of my wife and I years ago, and he changed our pattern of giving, and he has blessed us ever since that time. In other words, we did what his word said, not for salvation, but just to honor him. And in response, God has done everything his word says to bless us and provide for us in our lives. It's an amazing thing. It doesn't make sense mathematically, but God has a way of working it out in a most wonderful manner. Notice in letter C, God is saying that he blesses us according to the size measure that we use. Jesus said, "Give, and it will be given to you." So should our attitude become, "I want to give because I want to get"? That's not our attitude. But does the Bible teach that? It does. The Bible says that the more you give, the more you get. So Jesus said, "Given it will be given to you, for with the same measure you use, it will be measured to you." I want to share with you what happened in my life 27 years ago. My wife and I are members of a Lutheran congregation, and we had never heard, I don't believe, a single sermon ever on the topic of giving. And we really hadn't read very much of the Bible at that time in our very young Christian lives. So we were doing what we thought was the right thing. And I would say that what we were giving was probably about this size of a measure, if you will. So we were putting something in there every week in something like this, dropping it in the offering plate. We didn't know whether it was really right or really wrong. We didn't know the difference, but we did it. And that's how our lives were. And during that time, I should say up to that time, financially, really we struggled and struggled and struggled. And then God showed us a little bit of what his word says, and we thought, oh, never heard of that before, but we know this is God's word. We know it is true. We know God loves us. We know that whatever he said is best, so we should do what that says. So 1 week, we gave this much. And then the next week, we used this measure. And I don't know what the financial secretary was thinking. They're like, what happened to those people? Because they went from giving from this measure to that measure. But God did exactly what his word says, though. Because as we used this measure, God was using that same size measure to give back to us. And life was always a little bit of a struggle. But as soon as, literally, from the very first Sunday that we used this measure, we have never really wanted for anything. God has blessed us and blessed us. I could tell you story upon story upon story. And not just in my life, there are many others here at Bethlehem that are also very faithful givers. And God does what his word says. By the way, I want to just say thank you to those who do very faithfully give. Now, when we think about giving faithfully, giving faithfully means that even if there's a snowstorm and we can't come, does that mean we're not giving? By no means. Our giving is based on our receiving. So if I go on vacation, I'm very blessed to have a job where I get vacation pay. So if I'm on vacation, I'm not here receiving God's blessings, but still though, because I'm receiving, I'm still giving from what I receive. Just like I talked about receiving the $20 check, you give from that. If someday I have a relative pass away and I would receive an inheritance, wow, I have a golden opportunity to give again. I get 90% of the inheritance. My church gets 10% of the inheritance. God wants us to know that we honor him with all that we receive, and he will richly, richly bless us. Look at the back there. In 2 Corinthians 9, it says, "He who sows bountifully or generously shall also reap bountifully or generously." And then in the next one, it talks about those who give more actually gain more. Does that make sense? By no means. Consider the whole passage there. In Proverbs 11:24, it says, "One man gives freely, yet gains even more. Another withholds unduly, but comes to poverty." So it says, the more you give, the more you will have. The less you give, the less you will have. That makes no sense, does it? But yet, I'm living proof that that is how God blesses those who follow his word. God wants us to know it is true. We have broken the code, if you will. He wants us to see that. He wants us to know that. He wants us to step out in faith and know that he will keep his promises. Why can we be confident of that? First of all, God is the Almighty God. So whatever he has promised, no matter how impossible it might seem, he can do it. And then second, God is a holy God. So whatever he has said, he must do it. He cannot lie. So when we find promises like this in his word, we can know that he will come through. In the next section here, I talk a little bit how tithe giving is different than offering giving. Like a situation I encountered years ago when I went to visit one of our members who at the time was not able to come. He was living in an assisted living situation. So I went to see him. Now, he was not a man of great means. He didn't live in a big home or drive fancy cars, but he was a very godly and generous man. So what did he do? He tithed from all that he received. And then when I went to see him, though, he was already tithing, and I was about ready to leave, and he's like, "Hey, wait a minute, Pastor. I want to write out a check." And I didn't really know what he had in mind there, but he wrote out a check to Bethlehem Lutheran Church for $88. And he handed it to me, and I took a look at it, and it's like, why $88? I don't get it. And then he said, "Next week is my 88th birthday. So this is a special occasion. God has given me all these years of life. I want to give an offering that is over and above my tithe as a way to recognize God's great blessings, as a way to honor him in a special way." So an offering is giving over and above the tithe. Remember, the tithe belongs to the Lord. The offering is optional, but it's a way to be able to give greater honor to our great God. Another thing there in letter B, number 2, would be to think about designating part of your estate to go to your congregation when you pass away. Kathy and I have put in place that whatever congregation we're a member at when we die, that congregation will get 10% of our estate. And then we're also taking another 15% of our estate and giving it to various organizations that we want to support, like Lutherans in Africa, Lutherans for Life, and things like that. So we have that all laid out so that 25% of our estate is going to be dispersed to these various places where we want it to go to. Now, it's not that we don't trust our children, but we don't want to leave it to them to be able to disperse that money. We want to put it right in our will so that when the time comes, the checks will be written, and it will all take place. I say that in part as encouragement to the members of Bethlehem because we haven't really had much of any of that here at Bethlehem over the years. In other words, we've had a lot of people live and die, and off the top of my head, I would say I probably have done like 100 funerals or something like that over the years, and I can only recall twice, maybe there are 3 or 4, but I can only recall twice where anyone gave anything from their estate to the congregation. Of the twice, one was $1,000, and then the other one was more significant of in the range of maybe, well, it depends on how you look at it, maybe $15,000 to $30,000. Number 10 says that God loves a cheerful giver. So God doesn't want us to give reluctantly. He wants us to give cheerfully. So in conclusion here, what is our situation at Bethlehem? Well, I try to set an example for everyone by tithing from whatever I receive. As a congregation, we set an example for the whole congregation by tithing as a whole. So what do we do at Bethlehem? In the fall of the year, we're trying to guess for next year and say, we think our expenses will be about this much. So, for example, we might say, we think our expenses will be about $200,000 to pay like everything we have to pay. So then what we do is we multiply that by 10%. That would be $20,000. So we add the 20 onto the 200, and now we're looking at 220. So whenever we set that number, God has been so good to us, but God has allowed us to meet or exceed that number every single year. And then with the $20,000 that comes in over and above our budgeted expenses, what we do then is all that money goes to some organization or some individual in need beyond our congregation. So we can't use it for ourselves. That would not be a tithe. But we give it out beyond our congregation. So some goes to our district, some goes to Redeemer Crisis Center, some goes to Lutherans for Life, various organizations that we think are worthy places to be able to support with that money. So that's been our practice, and God has just richly blessed us in that way. So I would hope that with what I've said today, I want to just encourage you guys to rejoice that in Christ you are forgiven, and then to follow the treasure map, if you will, do what God's word says, and believe that God will do what he has promised to do. So I've laid it out before you. It's up to you. You can decide to go your own way, and that's not the best thing. You might feel some guilt. You might struggle a little bit. But if you have Christ, you have heaven. But if you want to step out in faith, though, I believe that God has wonderful, unbelievable blessings that God will give to you. As I think back in my life, when we went from the cup to the 5-gallon pail, I know in my life, within about 5 years, God ended up doubling my income. It was just unbelievable. For 10 years in a row, I'm making the same thing year after year after year, no matter how hard I tried. And within 5 years, after beginning to give according to Scripture, God doubled my income. It was the craziest thing. And ever since then, he's continuing to abundantly provide for us. Let's know that we are saved by the gospel. So anytime we're wondering, will God let me into heaven? We should never think about anything we've given, anything we've done. All we're thinking about is, do I have a relationship with Jesus Christ? And knowing that is true, we can rest in peace. But anytime we're trying to live our daily lives, God is calling us to know and follow his word. That is the best way to honor him. That is the way of greatest blessing. May God help us to know his word well, and may he give us the power to step out in faith and then honor him and reap these great blessings that he has for us. And all God's people said, Amen.